Well, good morning, everybody. Really appreciate the good thoughts that have been shared this morning with all of us and the good songs and the prayers. It's been a very blessed morning. I'm going to talk today about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan, two kingdoms. Let's go ahead and put that up on the board. Kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. You know, I was wondering about that, whether that was actually going to work with what we've been doing this morning. Let's see if we can get it to work. Not in presenter view, though. Okay, it's all right. Can you fix that for me? Presenter view, real quick? That'd be great. That helps me. So, we're going to talk about two kingdoms today. And in history, there have been many kingdoms. What's the largest kingdom of man that ever existed? You might be surprised to hear the answer to this. It's actually the British Empire. In the 1920s, only 100 years ago, the largest kingdom that ever existed was in existence at that time, and it was the British Empire. And the second largest is the Mongol Empire of Genghis Khan. And I forget the exact dates that was. And then during Bible times, of course, we know there were a number of kingdoms, right? The Assyrian kingdom, the Babylonian kingdom, the kingdom of the Greeks, Rome, the Roman Empire. We always think maybe the Roman Empire was the largest kingdom ever, but it wasn't geographically. So lots of kingdoms of men. But when you look at things from a Bible perspective, God only sees two kingdoms. He sees the kingdom of God and he sees the kingdom of Satan. Robert made a number of references to having been taken out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved son in his talks. And that's very fitting for what we're going to talk about this morning. Very foundational lesson, and I'm going to move through it. There's going to be a lot of words up on the slides of scriptures, not my words, but the words of scripture up on the slides. And I'm going to move through them very quickly because I'm making a fundamental point, a couple of points, fundamental points. And then I want to move to a practical application that I think is so important for us and so profound in application to our daily lives. So bear with me as we go through this brief look at the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan and observe the basic nature of these two kingdoms. In Matthew 12 and verse 26, Jesus said, "If Satan cast out Satan, he's divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they will be your judges. But if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." So you see in this one verse here, two different kingdoms. Satan's kingdom and God's kingdom. When John the Baptist came preaching, he preached the kingdom of heaven was at hand. When Jesus came preaching, he talked about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven being at hand. When Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, he talked about Jesus being made Lord in Christ and sitting down at the right hand of God. So this is a fundamental teaching of the gospel. And when Philip went down into Samaria, it says that he was preaching Jesus. But then it goes on further and it says that he was preaching the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus. So the kingdom concept is very fundamental to the gospel. It is the beginning of the gospel, really, when you consider the facts. Jesus is king, and he has a kingdom, and it's God's kingdom. It's his kingdom. All right, so Colossians 1, which, as I said, Robert referenced, he delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So, of course, that's the main focus of being in the kingdom of God, is the forgiveness of sins, because that's what allows us to be in fellowship with God, be adopted by God as his sons, be forgiven by God of our sins, because sin is what separates us from God. And in Acts 26 and verse 18, Paul talked about how the gospel opens people's eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. And so you see this idea of the domain or the kingdom or the power of Satan And you see him being called the ruler of this world three times by Jesus in John 12, 14, and 16. And the God of this world, Paul calls him in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. So this is all a reference, of course, to the domain, the power, the dominion, the kingdom of Satan. And so there are two kingdoms. And you're either in the kingdom of Satan or you're in the kingdom of God. That's the way God portrays our existence. We're in one of two kingdoms, either in his kingdom or in the kingdom of Satan. All right, so do not fear. God is infinitely more powerful than Satan. 1 John 4 and verse 4 is a good verse to show this. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them. For greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Just a reference to the fact that God is more powerful, God is stronger, and as long as we're in the kingdom of God, then we can defeat the devil. And we're not going to be held under his power. God is stronger than Satan. And just, I'm not going to go through all these scriptures, but just throw it up there on the board for you to digest the basic facts of the matter as taught by the Bible. God limited Satan and his power to afflict Job. When rebuked by God, the devil had to remain silent. His authority over kingdoms, he says, was delivered to him when he was tempting Jesus. It was delivered to him. He had to ask permission to sift Peter like wheat. He can't snatch anyone from the Lord's hand. The Bible says when Christians resist him, he flees. He was bound by an angel of God, Revelation 20. And when cast into hell, finally, he will be powerless to resist. So make no mistake about it. God is infinitely more powerful than the devil. Doesn't mean the devil is not powerful, though. And so what's the nature of his dominion? What's the nature of his kingdom? He rules, and this is what I think a fundamentally important point to dwell on for a minute. He rules by the power of sin and lies. When we talk about the two kingdoms, we're talking about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. Well, Satan's kingdom is a rule by the power of sin and lies. John 8 and verse 44 explains who the devil is. He says to these Jews who are wanting to kill him, Jesus says, you are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the... How in the world was the devil a murderer? Well, he lied, right, to Eve, and Eve ate of the fruit, gave it to Adam with her. And what happened? God said, in the day that you eat of it, you will die. And so they were separated from God out of the garden, and that was called a death. And ultimately, they would physically die. And so we learn that there is a spiritual death and there is a physical death. And sin brings spiritual death. And so Satan was a murderer from the beginning. And how did he murder? Well, Jesus says he has nothing to do with the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So make no mistake about the nature of the kingdom of Satan. It is a kingdom of lies. And that's how he rules, and that's how he exercises dominion. He's called the deceiver of the whole world in Revelation 12 and verse 9. The whole world is deceived by lies. That's the kingdom of Satan. That's the kingdom of the devil. And that's how profound this is. That's how important it is for us to recognize that that's the nature of the kingdom of Satan. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, in reference to those unbelievers who wouldn't receive the gospel, he says, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. Well, how did he do that? He did it through lies. He did it through lies. There are lies all coursing through the world. Lies. And that's how Satan works. When you think about it in that sense, you don't want those lies. You want the truth. You don't want to live by lies. If you live by lies, you're going to be deceived and you're going to die. You're going to be separated from God for all eternity if you live in Satan's kingdom. So, Satan tries to snare us. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 7 uses that term. With his schemes, Ephesians 6 and verse 11. and his devices, 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 11. So it's all a reference to Satan's deceptions. He tries to snare us with his schemes and his devices. And Ephesians 6 says he attacks us with his flaming darts so that he might devour us like a lion, 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. Well, how is he doing this? He's doing it through lies. And when you realize that, it drives you to want to know truth. You don't want to be in Satan's kingdom, but everybody is. Everybody is under his dominion and under his power because lies are what he tells us in order to get us to sin. And sin puts us in his kingdom, not God's. And so how do we get into God's kingdom? Well, we have to follow God's truth. So we have to be seeking for God's truth and searching for God's truth. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10 that the weapons that we use are not physical, carnal weapons. They are spiritual weapons. He says, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. And listen to this. Take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Now, how is he going to do that? How does God take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ? Well, we have to want truth. And when we want truth, God gives us truth. And when we submit to God's truth, then we think the way God thinks. We have the mind of God. We are given the truth of God. And that's how Christians live. Christians live with a thought process that says, this is true, and this is a lie. And I am not going to follow this lie. Oh, there's lots of lies. Men will tell lies. I've told lies. We talked about lying last week. We all lie. Everybody lies. And so what's the difference? A Christian will acknowledge the fact that he lies and repent and turn away from those lies and turn to what? Turn to truth. And that's the difference between the kingdom of Satan and the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of truth, and the kingdom of Satan is a kingdom of lies. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11 to Christians, he says, I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. How's that going to happen? Through lies. Your thoughts will be led astray because people are going to lie and you're going to believe those lies. Don't do that. I'm afraid for you that you're going to be led astray by the serpent. How? By lies. And so you see this fundamental teaching of the Bible that that's the nature of the kingdom of God versus the nature of the kingdom of Satan. 1 John 5 and verse 19, John says, and he's talking about Christians here, we know that we are from God and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Whew. That's a pretty broad statement. The whole world lies in the power of the devil. How? Through lies. And that's the way it's always been from the beginning of mankind. That's the first sin. Believing a lie. Being deceived by a lie. And that's the nature of the kingdom of Satan. And the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. You know, I really wish I'd have heard a sermon like this when I was young. I really, really wish that. In fact, I thought about that, saying that this lesson, I hope, hits home with the young people. Because that's how important it is to get this, to realize this from a youth, to realize this, that you're being told lie after lie after lie after lie in this world. How in the world are you going to survive that? You're going to have to submit to God's truth. Receive it, seek it, learn it, love it. Because only God's truth will allow you to be in His kingdom. Otherwise, you're going to be in the kingdom of the devil and you're going to be under his power. The whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Is that where you want to be? Is that what you want to do with your life? You want to be in the power of the evil one, right? No, of course not. But you don't think in those terms unless you're taught by God to understand this. You're in the power of the evil one. When you trust in lies, when you believe lies and you don't seek out God's truth, everyone is in his grip. Everyone is subject to his dominion and dead in sin because of his lies. So all people, young and old, male and female, everybody belongs to one of two kingdoms, either the kingdom of light or the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of truth or the kingdom of lies. So to not serve God is to serve Satan, whether we're conscious of it or not. Fundamental. Profoundly fundamental. If you are not serving God, if you're not in the kingdom of God, you are serving the devil. That is not the way we usually think about things, but that's how the Bible teaches us to think. And if that should matter. That should matter to you. If that doesn't matter to you, then you're very deeply entrenched in the kingdom of Satan. And you don't care. And that happens. For various reasons, people allow themselves to not care as to whether or not they're in the kingdom of the devil. They hear this message and it has no impact on them whatsoever. They're going to do what they want to do. They're going to live the way they want to live. They're going to think the way they want to think. And this message has no impact on them at all. And Satan has blinded their minds. And that's what I'm trying to get across. I'm trying to penetrate into your heart that you are under the control, the dominion, the power, the authority of the devil. When you are not in the kingdom of God, when you're not submitting to his authority and to his truth, that is profound. And it's true. It's what the Bible teaches. And so that can help us to understand a little bit about why Paul would say something like this in 1 Corinthians 5 about the rebellious man who was a Christian, but now he's turned back to sin and he's unrepentant and he's not going to get out of that sin. And so Paul says to the church there, when you are assembled in the name of our Lord Jesus and my spirit is present with the power of our Lord Jesus, you are to deliver this man over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. Really? Deliver him over to Satan? That's pretty harsh, Paul. That's pretty mean. That's not appropriate. Let's not be saying that, Paul. Deliver someone over to Satan. How obnoxious. How rude. You know, how harsh. But now you understand. Right? Now you understand. Because there's only two kingdoms. You're either in the kingdom of God or you're in the kingdom of Satan. And if you're not with God and you're not submitting to his rule and to his will, then where are you? You're with the devil. And that's the way God sees it. To us, maybe looking at it from outside, if we're not really knowledgeable in the Word of God, we don't understand how that could possibly be something that Paul would say to someone. I'm going to deliver you over to Satan. But that's exactly what he said, because that was exactly the truth. And so what was his point? Now think about this. I'm going to deliver and I want you to, church, I want you to deliver him over to Satan. Why? For the destruction of his flesh, so that his soul may be saved in the day of our Lord Jesus. What in the world? Yes. If you do this, church, then maybe he'll wake up. Maybe he'll realize the terrible condition he's in and he'll put to death his flesh. He'll put it to death and come back to the Lord and be saved. So, church, you got to do this because you got to do this for his sake. You got to do it to help him. You got to do it to bring him back because he's in the kingdom of Satan and he's going to lose his soul. So do this And maybe, maybe, he'll hear it, he'll see it, and he'll come back, and his soul will be saved in the day of the Lord. So, we're in a situation where we have two kingdoms. Truth, it governs one. Lies govern the other. Wisdom governs one. Foolishness governs the other. Jesus prayed for his disciples. He said, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. See, sanctify them and separate them, make them useful to you through the truth. So you see the difference again. The evil one lies. Jesus, truth. That's beautiful. All I got to do is listen to Jesus. If I'll listen to his truth, then I can escape the lies of the world. Oh, that's beautiful. And I'm going to show you something about that in just a second here. John 18, verses 36 and 37. Listen to this. My kingdom is not of this world. It's not a physical kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom. And for this purpose was I born. And for this purpose I've come into the world to bear witness to the truth. Jesus tells you what it's all about. He tells you what his kingdom is. It's a kingdom of truth. And he was born and came into this world for the sake of truth. And everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. That's beautiful. That's what attracted me to Jesus Christ. If you want to boil it all down, that's what attracted me. Truth. Really? There's something true? Yeah. There's something that I can depend on? Yes. There's something that gives me security and hope, wisdom, understand. Yes. Yes. I love that. That's everything. It should be everything to you. Truth. Something you can live your life by, that you can trust, that you can know. So, I want to make a final point, a final application here. I just want to look at some wisdom passages, and I want to just emphasize this. You want to live a good life? Live it according to truth and wisdom. Amen? Do you believe in truth and wisdom? It's in the Bible. It's in the Word of God. And the truth and the wisdom of God governs his kingdom. So you're in his kingdom. You are learning truth and wisdom. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom, James says. Chapter 3, verse 13, beginning. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. Now, you know the point I'm trying to make here? Wisdom from above brings what? Not disorder, not every evil thing, not jealousy and selfish ambition. Oh, those are the lies of the devil. The lies of the devil bring disorder and every evil thing. They bring arrogance and selfish ambition, selfishness, selfishness, selfishness. The lies of the devil have everybody being selfish and deceitful and sometimes evil and susceptible to all of that. That's not the wisdom from God. Look what the wisdom of God brings. The wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable. Note the word peaceable. Gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Do you see the contrast? Disorder and every evil thing versus peace. Peace. Peace with God. Peace with your brethren, peace with your spouse, peace with your children, peace with everybody as far as it depends upon you. It's a kingdom of peace, not disorder and every evil thing. It teaches us not to be selfish. It teaches us not to be jealous, not to have selfish ambition, and so it produces peace. The truth of God produces peace. Now, just real quick in the book of Proverbs. Again, lots here. I'm not going to dig it all out, but I'm going to emphasize the point. Proverbs 2, verse 6 through 11. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. See, once you accept that and believe that, now you're listening. Now you're listening. Now what's the Lord going to do? Well, He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He's a shield to those who walk in integrity, guards the paths of justice, watches over the way of His saints. And then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity and every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul and discretion will watch over you and understanding will guard you. That's the way to live. That's the way to live. That's the way to live. People think they're going to get a good life living in the devil's kingdom, not listening to God's truth, His understanding, His discretion, His knowledge. No way. You're not going to have a good life. You just aren't. Look at the world. The whole world is in the power of the evil one. The whole world is filled with strife and enmity, hostility, jealousy, selfishness. You don't have to be a part of that. You can come to the truth and submit to the truth. And here's what it produces for you. Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. I'm good with that. My understanding hasn't worked too well for me in my life. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Turn away from evil. What? It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. That's figurative language, but it's telling you that life is going to be sweet. It's going to be pleasant compared to what it would be if you were following the devil's lies. That's the point. Honor the Lord with your wealth, like we talked about today, and with the first fruits of all your produce, and then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. Again, figurative language to denote God's blessings. Doesn't mean you're going to get rich. It means you're going to have a rich life. Big difference there. Sometimes getting rich is the very worst thing that can happen to you. But a rich life, that's what we want, and that's what God gives us. Love, peace, joy. All right, one last passage, and then the lesson is yours this morning. Proverbs 3, 17 through 22. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold fast are called blessed. People ought to be able to see that in your life. Are you blessed? Show them. No bragging. Just show them. How? Just live your life. Just live your life the way you live it. Show the love. Show the care. Show the truth. They see it. All her ways are ways of peace, paths of peace. And those who hold her fast are called blessed. And then in verse 21, he says, "My son, do not lose sight." My sons, do not lose sight. Right? That's what the book of Proverbs is about. A father to his sons. Right? My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life for your soul and adornment for your neck. Amen? Amen. Thank you. Appreciate your good attention this morning. And, you know, what are you going to take away from this lesson this morning? Probably all kinds of different things. But what I take away from this is just stability, soundness, security, I'm in the kingdom of God. It's going to be okay. No matter what happens, it's going to be okay. I've got the truth of God. I've got a relationship with God. I'm trying to live my life that way. It's going to be okay. And along the way, not only is it going to be okay, but I'm going to receive all kinds of blessings. Thank you, God, for that. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the abundant life. And thank you for giving me the hope of an eternity with you. I don't want to be with the devil. I hate the devil. So, hopefully that's what you take away from this as well. Strengthens your faith. Strengthens your courage. If you're here this morning and you're not yet a Christian, you want to become a Christian, we're always ready to help. Morning, noon, or night, however. Don't wait for assemblies. Whenever you're ready. Morning, noon, or night. And if you're already a Christian and you'd like the prayers of the congregation, whatever your need may be, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.